first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Welcome to the Football Pubcast, show number 59. We're back in the Moose Bar. It's
just about standing after me and Stuart both.
Yeah, you both tried to break out via the windows, but just about help. Jim's here.
I am, and we've just got a football table. Did you see that, Sean?
No, I didn't see that before.
It's not bad, is it?
We only walked past it on the way in.
It looks like quite a nice one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We might have to go on that later. Sean's here on lager.
Afternoon, all right.
Dan's here on... What are you drinking, Dan?
Pear cider, but I didn't ask for pear cider, I asked for cider. But like I said, I'm not having a go.
They saw your bladder and thought you wanted pear.
And the pink polo shirt. But no, I appreciate it. It's pear cider.
So. Refreshing?
It's lovely.
All right.
This is a proper podcast, because quite often when we come to the pub...
We're not all drinking.
We are all on it today.
It's
probably
Friday.
Probably because it's Friday. Yeah. We don't usually record on a Friday.
That is very true.
Stuart Hall.
Good afternoon.
He's back. He's on the Doom Bar. Just like my good self, actually. The Doom Bar's a good drop. I was on that last weekend, so... Okay, that's enough talk about beer.
Never.
It's been a packed week of various
emotions
and all sorts going on. Let's talk about Gary Speed first. Good player in the Premier League. He was one of those who was always quite underrated. He was loved at every club he played at. Did a really good job. And I love the fact that at Leeds they held an 11 minutes worth of cheering and clapping from the 11th minute.
And
at the end of the 11th minute of that 11 minutes, they went and scored and they won 4-0.
Yeah.
Which I thought was absolutely fantastic.
When was that?
That is dangerous.
Tuesday night.
Reading it, a little tear in my eye. You know, I mean, like, just the fact that in that 11th minute, those 11 minutes, they've gone and scored. And it couldn't. I bet the place went mental. Can you imagine?
Superb story.
That is a wonderful story.
Newcastle have got a lot going on tomorrow as well, haven't they?
Leeds are there's Gordon Strachan.
Bread of Heaven, something like that, yeah.
Gordon Strachan, McAllister, and one other, I can't remember, all Liam Rees. And having a big old deal at Leeds tomorrow as well. It's lovely, I think.
Obviously, I don't know if you guys were involved in any of the minutes of applauses, but it was quite emotional. I think everyone was sort of very well respected at the Palace Man United game, and everyone did feel quite.
No one had a bad word to say.
Exactly.
About it. You see some players, and it's like, you know, there's people who like him and don't like him. Gary Speed wasn't that sort of player, was he? He was just one of those who he played on almost into his 40s. He played well into his 30s. It was late 30s.
Yeah, it's just the whole shock factor as well. It's like if you could.
He was on Football Focus the day before.
Yeah, exactly. I was abroad. I was in France, and I got an email from my housemate who's Welsh. And initially, I thought he said he'd read it, and I just thought it was like rumours. And it was just like so bizarre. Then he said it was confirmed on BBC News, and then he came back about 10 minutes later and said it was confirmed as suicide. And it was just like, I just couldn't
none
get
of it
me
made
around
sense,
it.
Yeah.
It was just absolutely bizarre. Just the whole sequence of events, the who it was.
Yeah.
To be honest, if it was someone that we know has had problems in the past, like if it was Gaza
or Collymore or someone,
yeah, you know, it would be just as shocking and just as tragic. But it was the shock factor of
it. It came out of completely nothing.
Yeah. It's very bizarre. But it has been really nice, the reaction and what have you. But
I mean, there's been a lot of chat about this all week. You know, I think it's one of the hot topics of conversation in general. But I will honestly believe, I really hope nothing sinister comes out. I don't think there will be.
There's obviously reasons behind it, and hopefully those reasons will be told to his family and won't be reported in the press.
That's the important thing, it's the family, isn't it? The family and the close friends.
But I think straight away when it happens, people know that I work at the Mirror, so I have people texting me,
yeah, me too,
saying, oh, what's the truth behind it, stuff like that. It's just got, it's a period where
you
hopefully
don't need to know.
Yeah,
we don't need to know. His family needs to know. We don't need to know.
It's obviously happened for some reasons. We don't know.
Did you see
I don't
that?
Really care.
Like, no, you're right. Know. No, you're right. Did you see that letter, that 14-year-old kid who came up on the Mirror site
today?
Seen
the Mirror, today.
Was it double-faced spread? Yeah, a 14-year-old boy who lost his father to suicide a couple of years ago. Same school, I think, or just...
Same age. There was a lot of similarities between the two
and
of them, wasn't
there? He wrote an open letter to Gary Speed's two sons, who are obviously the same
age. They're quite old as well, aren't they? 13 and 14.
So he's like similar age, and he wrote this open letter to them, which has been printed in the Mirror, and it is, tell you what, I read it only about an hour ago, and it was proper, I mean, it's heart moving, really, I mean, unbelievable stuff, really.
Worth a read.
Talking of really sort of lumps of throat stuff, did any of you see Bryn Law on Sky Sports?
And Robbie Savage on BBC News.
Yeah, but because Bryn Law, he'd been there for like 6-7 hours reporting on it, and I didn't know that he was a really good friend of Gary Speed, and then just at the end of his stint, he was talking about the text messages.
And he just
completely broke.
So what he was talking about?
He said whenever he appeared on TV. Because he was the same age as Gary Speed.
Okay.
But he's got really grey hair. And, I'll send
so
you...
So he's got a huge reporter.
Brilliant. Yeah. Grey hair.
Gary Speed used to text him saying the first snow has fallen in Yorkshire. what it was. And he said... And he got that text on the Saturday. And then he texted back a bit of banter. And then the Sunday morning he said... So he's reporting this live to... who was it on the other end? George Thompson on the other end. Reporting this live. And he said, Sunday morning, I heard all this stuff.
Was he one of the anchors that happened to
No, he was in the field.
No, he was out in the field.
At Leeds. So he said, and Sunday, he said, I heard this. So I text Gary saying, mate, it's some awful rumours floating about. Just give me a text and let me know you're all right. And he said, and I didn't get a text back. And at that point, he just went and just started crying his eyes out.
It was
unbelievable.
He just got a feel for the guy.
And exactly the same as Robbie Savage on BBC News, wasn't it? He got to the point where he was shaking his head. He couldn't speak, and they had to stop it.
When was that? On the Sunday or the Monday?
On the Monday.
And they did a special 6:06 on 5 Live, which I haven't listened to yet, but I hear is very good.
I haven't heard really that either.
Fair play to doing that as well for Savage.
Yeah.
Did you see the Colin Moore letter that he posted the day before?
The day before, really?
Yeah, have you seen the letter?
No.
He basically started... I'll find it, because it's worth... Basically, have you read it?
Yeah.
He came out, he said, right, it's about 4:00 in the morning, I'm writing this letter. Basically, it was about... really detailed. I'm a lot better informed about depression than I was before I read that letter.
Yeah,
Because someone posted... I'm sorry, but he posted that a day before, on the Friday night of the Saturday, before it happened. I'll get it for you guys because you need to read it from a football perspective and a personal, like, really strong act. Basically, him talking about what depression means to him and how it affects him. And after reading it, you can sort of see, like, bloody hell, like, someone could be depressed and people not know. Because basically, when he has fits of depression, he just shuts himself off. So he can be fine 1 minute, he'll shut his door, he can tell when it's going to come, and then he just won't do anything for like a week or something like that.
Without wanting to sort of take the point too far, I've had that myself.
Yeah.
So yeah. Good few years ago now, but I've been through it and I can appreciate it. And it's, you know, some people they don't understand it. If you don't understand something, it can get dismissed.
I think the majority don't know something.
No, exactly.
I think the majority haven't got a clue.
Even in the medical profession as well, you know, it can be very difficult to actually deal with and address and treat and all the rest of it.
Especially in that's the problem, isn't it? Because it's so macho, the footballing world.
Yeah, no, it is. And, you know, it's a horrible thing to deal with. And you just hope that, you know, especially in the light of everything that's happened, that Stan is, you know, he's able to get out.
Yeah,
I mean, he was on TV doing the Europa League in the week. Which I think was a good thing for him.
The 10 players have contacted Tony Adams.
Exactly.
Is it fighting chance or
sporting chance? Yeah.
Ten Premier League players as well have contacted them and said that they've suffered from it.
I think
it's life. So some good might come in the whole situation.
Yeah, I think if you know, in all walks of life, if you're struggling with anything, and you know, you don't, just talk to someone. Just talk to someone. You know, whether it's your best mate, whether it's one of your members of your family, just talk to someone. And then at least then you've not got it on your own, and then you'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know, you can then move on from it.
Don't talk to Stuart all though. Just stare out the window.
Whatever you do.
Looking for ducks.
Looking for ducks. Always the same.
There's a main road behind us.
I think while we're on the points before we move off, we did mention it in the last podcast, but get well soon to Babak Mafati, the general referee.
It was bizarre. We were talking about him attempting suicide.
Yeah.
A few days before this all happened. Do you know an update on that?
Is he still?
No idea.
Cool.
Right.
Happy enough.
Yeah, we'll move on.
Rest in peace, Gary Speed.
Yeah.
Palace won, but we won't talk about that, Sean. Let's just move straight on. I tell you what.
Hang on, I don't think we will talk about that.
Sean went to the game. Palace needs to get older. He went to the game. I wasn't in the office on Big Wednesday.
I can imagine how excited he was.
But I was in the office on Thursday, first day back. And he bounced in every time the goals, because we got the Sky Sports News TVs around us. Every time the goal came on, he was jumping up literally underneath it. He had his Palace scarf on the whole day as well. We got a Man United fan in the office. The Palace scarf was draped over his seat when he came in.
Who was that? Oh, brilliant.
Local lad, so not a bad night.
Local team Deccan Chargers, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Fantastic evening. Quality strike.
You can't afford going up there. You must have just like.
I enjoyed the day.
Yeah.
Taking the atmosphere in the stadium. Sitting three rows from the back, couldn't see a thing.
But, you were in the. Behind the goal.
Yeah.
I've been taking both tiers. Were they giving the Palace?
We had both tiers.
About
8,000 of these.
5,000 it was. Yeah. We'll move on to Tottenham's midweek game. I'd pipe down if I were you.
I'm happy about that.
because they give that section when there's a Seymour.
I've been there when
England played Northern Ireland and they gave the top two and that away thing. But it must have been.
Cracking atmosphere, superb. We rested a few players. that's not a lie, we did.
No way.
Yeah, we did. Goalkeeper, two central midfielders.
At least you're not leaving out any crucial positions.
Yeah, exactly.
Of your team.
You've got a key game against Derby tonight. That's more important.
I tell you, that's a bit harsh, isn't it? Game midweek, and then you've got to play Derby on a Friday.
Sean's loving it though. He gets to go and watch him again. No, it's still buzzing from Wednesday.
That's
right?
Twice in a week.
I think we're on TV Derby three times. Shut up. I think we're in TV three times in 20 days. That has to be a record for Crystal Palace.
That's not bad.
Well, recently, anyway.
And a bit of a waste of Sky Sports production.
I'll be asking for a refund.
It saves money, doesn't it?
Sky Sports execs, when that draw was made, they were just thinking, right, not Palace v Cardiff.
Please not that.
I was like, Palace v Cardiff.
I wanted that as well.
I want to see a football league team in a final.
Absolutely gutted though, because the second leg away in Cardiff, I'm on holiday in LA.
But the thing is,
absolutely gutted. I mean, holiday in LA.
He is going. He decided yesterday. He looked at it. He went, I'm going to try and change the flights.
Unfortunately, you're not possible.
His Brazilian girlfriend probably wasn't too happy.
Colombian.
Sorry.
Yeah, right.
Did you tell her?
Yeah, I was like,
what did she say?
Paola,
no changio el flatio.
What did she actually say?
Sorry, Paola. I'm on a plane.
Sure she's listening. Did she just look at you?
She just went, no.
Yeah.
She went, oh, what a shame.
No. You'll be on the. Like, are you actually flying when the game's.
No.
So we have to find a bar when you get out there?
Well, I don't know how popular the Palace Cardiff second leg of the League
It'll
Cup will be out in there.
It'll be on some.
I'll be trawling the whole city.
What, do you know what time it'll be?
I'll
be trawling the whole city, then you might watch the game.
You might have forgot about the game.
You have to find out the time.
They'll have a sports bar dedicated.
Yeah, must have.
But you might be 4-0 down from the first leg anyway, in which case it won't be. Imagine if you change your flights, paid like a grand to change it, and then you've lost the first leg. That'll be a decent game. Now, obviously, the Liverpool game's going to be interesting, but if that's a tight game going into the second leg, the atmosphere down in Cardiff, you'll take as many seats as your
many
as well.
Cardiff have got a choke on at home as well. They could
Stu loves Cardiff.
I do. I'm actually going, and I'm going to be in the Cardiff end supporting Cardiff.
Yeah, I saw your notes before.
Is that purely to antagonise?
Yeah. No, not at all. Yeah.
We've never done a pub cast together, but
Mental, Palace more than Cardiff. So
okay.
Why do you hate Palace? Actually, I'm going to out him here. He ripped up part of the Arthur Waite stand last time QPR played there.
Well, to be fair,
yes, you did.
It was a rumour.
That was a rumour that you told me.
Never right. Improved.
Why do QPR fans not like Palace? I've never understood that.
Because you're south of the river and shit. Sorry.
Lovely. Yeah.
Right. Fair enough. Okay. That's both of those are accurate.
Punditry from Mr. Hall. Right. Tottenham.
Yes.
Dan.
Yes.
Give us your laments. What happened? No. Two goals in 14 minutes. No. Wasn't it?
Why were they playing on a Wednesday?
No idea.
Yeah. Just pretend it's Champions League.
Yeah.
Do you reckon like Harry Redknapp he had a personal stereo with the Champions League music as the team's going?
For some reason, they played them all.
Not all of them. Fulham played last night. Stoke played last night.
Sorry, half a Wednesday, half a Thursday. No idea why they did it.
I think it's just saying get more games on TV.
Probably.
Yeah, that would make sense.
But I actually got offered a ticket to the game. But I play for a midweek team. We were playing Wednesday night, 6 o'clock kickoff. So I did the honourable thing, said sorry,
mugged
I can't
them off
come.
And went to the game.
What? No, I didn't. I was did the honourable thing, played for my football team, but it worked out perfectly.
How did that game go? Because the Spurs one was rubbish. So
we drew 3-0, but came back from 2-0 down. So anyway, that was so. Got into the pub at 8:15.
Right. Okay.
15 minutes.
2-0 down.
And 2-0 down. So
did you then turn around and go home.
No. So and do you know what, mate? It was
brought an Arsenal shirt.
It was. It's going to be the best thing for Spurs, realistically, it's going to be the best thing.
Top four in the league.
Well, exactly.
I don't care about what you think about the long term, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You lost the game against a bunch of amateurs.
Right.
The goal that was disallowed.
Do you know what? I was raging about that.
Why were you raging?
Because
Jermaine Defoe two-footed someone's back. Kung-fu'd someone's back.
But the referee hadn't blamed for it.
It doesn't matter. He still did it.
It doesn't matter.
And the post should have been sent off anyway.
The game can't go on.
The game can't go on when Jermaine Defoe just was the kung fu someone's spine.
It wasn't a kung fu. That's ridiculous, chap.
He was two-footed on his back.
So both of them were like 50-50. He got there a little bit late.
The guy was already on the
floor. He got there a little bit late.
Okay, let me ask you some questions, right?
Did Jermaine Defoe
commit a
slightly
questionable...
It was a felony. It wasn't even a foul. It was a felony. I'm not in a court law because you're going to twist this to make my answers a certain way. I'm giving you a statement right now, and it is, yes, it was a foul. However, it wasn't spotted. The game played on.
Even by the guy 5 yards away behind
exactly.
The goal. Like,
the game played on, right? If the Lino had flagged, fair enough, but the game played on, it's come back, he's scored. Lino's run off as if it's a goal, and then suddenly, because he's seen the geezer on the deck, he's then gone, wait a minute, what's happened? No, hang on.
Oh, yeah, Jermaine Defoe's committed assault.
Right.
Let's pull that back.
But. If he spotted the foul straight away, fine. But the fact they didn't, they played on, the Rhino gave it, the ref gave it, all that, and then suddenly they went, oh, better not.
But justice was still done because it was a foul. So it doesn't really matter.
No.
Yes.
No.
And the guy shouldn't have got sent off.
One
word for you. Penalty.
Karma.
Yeah.
Chick Karma.
That'd be lovely, yeah.
All these things even themselves out, as they always say.
Swings around about, Dan.
I wish you could see the grin from ear to ear on Staples' face right now. You bastard.
Oh dear, what a pity, never mind. Next, what we got? Tuesday night.
West Ham, big win at Middlesbrough.
Yeah?
Middlesbrough.
I don't know where that place was. Strong beer you're drinking.
I watched them on the box on Saturday.
On the telly box?
Yeah. They beat Derby at home, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they looked quite good, second half. What's his name? Nolan got a nice little half volley.
Mm.
But going up to Middlesbrough, I thought they might get a win. A draw, sorry. And they got that win. That's a massive, massive win for them. Puts them a little bit apart. I think they're a few points above both Cardiff and now Middlesbrough. There's a little bit of a buffer there between them and them, Southampton and the other lot. So massive win, I thought.
Southampton are doing superbly this season. I mean, they always, we're always going to. And I was talking to you about this yesterday. Actually. Nigel Ackley.
You say talking. I was trying to get a rise out of you on Twitter.
It didn't really work. Did it?
Well, I don't know. He's a physio.
He's a physio. Who's top of the league.
But as I pointed out to Si yesterday, I've heard strong rumours that during every team talk, Atkins has his magic sponge in his hands. It's like Sooty. What's that magic sponge? Lambert, you're going to get the ball from the Yes, Magic Sponge. Yeah, it's always something with the sponge.
Like that, that Mel Gibson film, The Beaver. I don't know if any of you have seen that.
That's a porno. Video, that one.
is that one of his earlier porn
stars
films?
In The Beaver. I want to see this film.
Are you sure this was Mel Gibson?
I think so.
This is Melanie Gibson.
He cuts his arm off.
He cuts his bloody arm off.
He does. He's suffering from depression, actually, and he gets his beaver to give him a bit of confidence.
Wait, hang on, he gets a beaver to give him a puppet.
Hang on.
He gets a puppet that's a beaver, makes him really confident, he gets fucked off with the beaver, chops his arm off. The end.
No need to buy the film.
I'm going to Blockbusters tonight. Movie night.
You ain't going to Palace tonight. Rewatch The Beaver.
What's it called? The Beaver.
Yeah. Jonathan Ross, film 2011.
Was a perfect synopsis, mate. that is what happened.
How have we gone from West Ham winning at Middlesbrough to Beavers?
I don't know. But before we work that out, let's talk about Blackburn Rovers.
Not for long, though.
Steve King.
He can't even win the sack race. That's how bad he is.
He still managed to get himself a pay rise.
Yeah. How much? There must have been a lot of money on King to be the first boss to be axed.
Yeah.
Although it's a market.
Steve Bruce better not have had any money on it.
Well, exactly. But and did you see? So they lost at Cardiff.
When Bruce got sacked, his face dropped. Sorry, go on.
Complete silence.
Yeah, I'm moving on.
So they've lost the game at Cardiff, then he basically came out and said, right, it wasn't our priority.
Used the word forfeit, didn't he?
We forfeited the game.
They've taken about 1,000 fans.
They want their money back.
And they want a refund.
I would be doing
exactly the same. I'd gone on the coach as well, so you can prove that you travelled.
It's not just down the road either, is it? No, it's a bit of a schlep, isn't it?
Yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous. I would be seething.
Yeah.
Absolutely seen us, isn't it?
It is nuts.
And at Cardiff are famous for that game, and definitely so as well. They were always going to win that game at home.
Yeah, always. I do not know what those Venkies people are doing.
No.
I think they're trying to do the right thing, but they're just doing it so wrong. Mm. It's like, give the guy every chance, and they probably thought, we need to give the manager time.
He's not even a tried and tested manager that's one of those, give him a bit of time and he'll come through.
If he'd have done that with Allardyce, I'm sure they'd be doing a lot better than him.
Exactly. And Blackburn, who cares?
He's driving it to relegation.
Yeah, he's not
driving anywhere else. Right. Banned from driving, shit. There you go.
Steve Bruce, we just mentioned, sat from Sunderland.
Unless you read the Sport
or not, apparently. Go
Sport magazine. At 2 points, just two comments on the Sunderland Villa game this weekend.
Yeah.
One, it was probably Steve Bruce's last if he lost. That's the boat there.
Yeah.
And Darren Bent's coming back, which is fair enough. But yeah, it would probably be Steve Bruce's last game if they lost. He's already gone. So.
If you were in charge of Sunderland, who would you get in? There have been rumours to have been late night talks with Martin.
Jose Mourinho. That's the old game.
Alright, sensible answer from Jim.
I'd definitely go for, if they're looking at O'Neill and Hughes.
Sensible answer from Jim.
Looking at O'Neill and Hughes, I think O'Neill would do really well there.
Yeah. Is he back? Is he over his. Boy, wouldn't he do? He was depressed as well.
No, I'd think he'd had enough.
Wasn't it his wife?
I think
that was
a little while ago,
wasn't it?
Was that
why Villa
got rid of him, though?
No, he walked out.
Yeah,
he walked out because he had enough, but if he's over his demons.
When
he had late night
talks with him last night according to Sky Sports News.
Yeah, and apparently
Sky Sports News who have now got the Christmas jingles and the snowmen. I noticed this morning.
I love the snowmen, they're great.
Yeah.
Playing football.
But yeah, so he's said yes, hasn't he, O'Neill?
Not yet.
No, but it's understood that he said yes, he would take the job.
Yeah, he would take the job if the terms were right and whatever. Yeah, I think that'd be a really good point. Also on the sack race, Blackburn are playing Swansea this weekend at home, I believe.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Blackburn don't win that game, I think Keane will be out.
It's got to be.
Surely.
Either that or they'll sign a new contract.
Yeah.
6 years.
They only got past Wigan with a draw by virtue of conceding a penalty that was the most clear penalty you've ever seen and scoring a dodgy goal. So
Pedersen's won the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was Pedersen who gave the penalty away that wasn't given as well.
That was
Tripp.
He's had a good day.
Is he man of the match?
I don't know. He must be the invisible man.
He's had a good day.
I don't understand it.
Moving on, Eddie Boothroyd. Northampton Town.
I like Adrian Redford as a manager. A lot of people don't like him.
I don't like him.
He plays percentage football, because but I think he's effective. You know,
he needs a stepping stone for a club. And Northampton Town fans, if anyone's listening, that sounds a little bit disrespectful, but it's true. If someone like that came to a club like Gillingham, probably a similar stature as Northampton Town, that's what it would be—a stepping stone.
Yeah, because do a good job there, then move to
back in the public eye.
He could spend a year there, maybe 2 years. I don't think he'd spend 2 years there, to be honest. I think he'd either shit out or he'd be really good.
Yeah.
If he shits out, he'd be out within 6 months. If he's really good, then he'll get picked up probably next summer by a championship team, someone like Coventry. They're looking for a manager to push on. So it's a good appointment. It's a good appointment for Northampton. It's a good appointment for Booth.
I'm disappointed in Northampton. They look quite good to finish in the top.
You tipped them. I remember this.
I tipped them and Oxford as the two teams I thought would go up automatic. Oxford are doing all right. They're kind of in the mix. Northampton have been dreadful. They've been really bad, so I don't know really what's going on there. 5:30 today, I believe, so the draw probably happened about 9:30. The Euro 2012 draw, there'll be...
I'm sure someone's Madonna's performing beforehand.
There'll be something like the Eurovision Song Contest that takes place before the first ball draw.
I look forward to that.
But it's probably going to happen while I'm on the coach home, so I'm going to miss it. I normally miss all these draws because I'm on my
luckily,
own.
Because of technology, so I'm pretty sure you'll be able to keep up on it.
On
your phone.
The medium of Twitter.
Yes.
Yeah, someone has to talk to my dad for now, like I did last time. No one needs that.
Hello, Dad, you alright? Watching the draw? Good.
I'm actually genuinely excited. And yes, I wouldn't mind. If we get a really hard group, I wouldn't mind it.
I want a hard group.
Yeah, it'd be quite good.
I'm of the view that we aren't going to win. Let's have some good games.
Exactly. You know what?
If we get through a hard group without Rooney, then you've got to then have exactly. a bit of relief.
You can't have a bad group in a hard group,
can you?
I want to play against Ireland.
Go on, Steve, what are you saying? Just stop.
If we get through a good group without Rooney, it's going to happen, won't it?
I think the difference is, I think there is a realism amongst people like us, England fans, that we aren't that good. We've got some decent players.
There's no danger of it.
To be honest, I went out to the World Cup last year, or 2 years ago. I went out to the World Cup in Germany, playing it down a little bit, but really thinking we could do it. If we click, we could do it. I'm going to go out to the Euros, thinking, let's go out there. Hopefully the young kids will perform. They can play with a bit of confidence. I don't think the press are going to be on their backs this summer as much.
No, I think you're right. I think there's been
a change in the red top. I'd like to think that
Capello will take quite a young squad with him. And I think there'll be a bit of a balance. I think he'll take a few of them. Danny Welbeck's and people like that might get.
And if those kids try and play decent football and express themselves, I don't care if we lost all three. I'd actually try and burn Fabio Capello. if they went out there, played with a bit of passion and tried to play decent football, I'm not going to be too bothered if we don't make the semi-final or the quarter-final.
No.
Let's just go out there and see what happens. I'm really genuinely looking forward to it.
The World Cup in South Africa as a tournament wasn't a great football tournament.
It wasn't
a great football tournament. The Euros tend to be better than the World Cups because the quality overall in the tournament is greater.
Because you've only got the 16 teams.
You haven't got these sort of Mickey Mouse nations who qualified through Oceania and places like this.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, hello to our Australian friends.
We're the only unbeaten team in the tournament.
Good point, well made. But
joke.
No, the Euros.
He's still not happy about the beaver.
The Euros are always a really strong tournament, so you know it'd be good for England to turn up, do themselves justice, to go out in the second round.
All right, what would justice be? What would England doing themselves justice?
Get out of the group.
Quarterfinals.
Get out of the group and play well. I don't mind if they win or lose in a knockout. Go out playing well, not playing that insipid rubbish.
Is there a last 16, then a quarterfinals, then a semi, or is it straight
32
away?
32 teams.
Quarterfinals.
32 teams. So you got the last 16, and then you got the
quarterfinals.
Yeah, 16. Second round, quarterfinals, and the final. I believe.
Is there only 16 teams?
Quarterfinals.
The main thing I'd want.
I'd like
to come away from the tournament with one outstanding moment.
One great win or something.
France 98, Michael Owen.
Yeah.
Euro 96, Gaza.
Yeah.
Or the Holland victory. If we come out of the group, and even if we don't come out of the group, I'd like one thing like
one
that
moment,
to happen.
One moment of magic. Yeah,
South
yeah,
Africa, yeah. England's nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
No. Jermaine Defoe scored one off his shin, and that was all he did. Yeah. There was no magic there.
Oh, it was Wellerspoons down
there. Yeah, but there was like, you asked us, in another 2 years' time, you said South Africa. I went to the games. I won't even remember them. I was quite smashed for most of them.
Yours is one moment of magic.
One magical moment. So like, Rooney scores a goal that we know he's all capable of, or Danny Welbeck steps up and scores an absolute worldie, which launches him, or Wilshere runs from midfield. Something that happens that you remember the tournament by. That's what I'd like personally.
Right, we'll have a burning question in a little bit, but as soon as we're talking about the Euros, if we're working on the basis that England aren't going to win this, and we're all pretty much unanimous that they're not going to win this. Who would you like to see win if not England? A realistic
Poland.
Pick. Poland.
Wales.
Home nation.
Yeah.
Hey?
Wales.
Wales, I agree.
I can see what you're saying about Poland, but we've got Poland and Ukraine in our World Cup qualifier groups. If one of them won the Euros, they'd be on such a high, they'd represent fair difficult opposition in our World Cup qualifiers.
Poland.
Why?
I just love
sexy football.
Sexy football.
Well, sexy football.
He went to Amsterdam and really liked it. That's the last time he smiled.
I'm an honorary Dutchman, mate. After Euros in 2004, I was at a game with all the Dutch fans against Germany. That's a big derby.
Yeah. I've got a lovely image of just loads of Dutch
and me.
All
in orange.
And wearing his funeral shirt,
and his puffer jacket,
which I'm wearing right
and
now.
And his sleeveless puffer jacket. I'd go
sleeveless because it was quite hot out.
I'd actually make my mind up after the group games.
Yeah.
There'll be a team which I either take to
play good football.
In the World Cup, I start supporting Chile.
They were looking really good. Sanchez and what?
Yeah,
definitely.
It's like Turkey in the last Euros. They were fantastic.
They got Turkey, all the way.
They were great. They were great to watch.
Horrible fans. Stu.
Come on, Stu. Pretend you were here.
I wasn't.
You're in the room. Anyone else
for England? Who would you pick if you had to support someone apart from England?
Spain, favourites.
Dan?
Fair enough. I don't know. I've got Portuguese heritage going back. It used to be Da Silva. Going back eight generations or whatever it was. But I can't get behind him. You can't get behind a Portuguese. I can't know. I think it's Ronaldo.
I'd probably quite like Ireland to do quite well.
I'd love to see Ireland get out of the group. Whatever group they're in, I'd love to see Ireland get out of the group.
That'd
be wonderful. and score with someone just throwing it in the back of the net.
Right, okay, that's the draw. We got anything else before we move on, guys? Yeah, we done.
Half an hour's worth of chat.
Me and Stu are going to be watching the draw, hoping and praying we're in group ALC,
then we're in Poland, and then we're going,
we're
to
going out.
Are you going out
there? There's about 30 of us going out.
It's a lot of preparation.
So B and D are in Ukraine.
ANC
are in Poland. So you're praying we're in ANC.
We want Group A predominantly. We're going to do a few nights in Krakow, then a train to Warsaw, and we can see the last group game there.
I'm going to Krakow in March, so do you want a little scout out for you?
I've been twice, mate. I know where the brass ends are. I'll say that, my girlfriend.
Literally the other side of that wall. Keep it down, Stoke.
All right, we'll move on before Jim loses his relationship. Burning question time. Strike partnerships. We talked about these in the Premier League the other day, or the other week. Who's your top strike partnership of all time? Sean, who
Ronaldo and Dougie Freeman.
Mix and match.
Got to be done. Ronaldo is the best player I've ever seen score in my lifetime. I went lucky enough to go to El Clasico when I...
Is he actually...
What?
Ronaldo and Dougie Freeman?
Yeah.
When did they play together?
I thought it was just from any era.
That's a mix and match, mate.
They have to be actual.
You can't just name two strikers you think are the best in any era.
I think they play quite well together.
Maradona and Crouch.
Yeah.
Big man, little man.
Well, these trip sheets need to be worded.
You're fine. Who make up your top strike partnership of all time? Right? They didn't say you can name two players.
They have to be a strike partnership.
A partnership.
Should we come back to you?
I can understand Stu doing it. You were here last week.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Carl.
All right, Dan, who's yours?
Talking about Dwight York and Cole, that's mine.
Right, there you go. mine was, have a quick look. Raul and Morientes at Madrid.
Yeah.
Only because, I didn't realise, they won, in the 6 years they were there together, they won three Champions Leagues and scored 245 goals between the two.
Apart from that, what did they do?
Apart from that, what did they do? So, do you know what? I mean, it wasn't my choice to jump in my head straight away, but I think that record is bloody unbelievable. Three Champions Leagues and 250 goals.
Who's that?
cheers, White. Come back, Stokes.
Sorry.
Raul and Morientes when they're at Madrid.
Yeah, don't like Raul.
No, that's really neither here nor there.
He went to Liverpool, didn't he? And I was just thinking, he's a perfect player for the Premiership. Loves a header.
Didn't really
do it. Absolutely nothing at all.
That record says it all, really. Did you hear what I said?
I did, yeah. Three Champions League and a load of goals. Well done.
I've got four.
No, we're only asked for one. We haven't got time because we've already been 33 minutes. Give us one, sorry.
All right. So you've got four partners.
Four partners.
No wonder you're tired.
I see the bags under my eyes. Best one at club level, Romario and Stoichkov for Barcelona.
Yeah, fair enough.
Moody.
Yeah.
The moodiest strike partnership you can imagine, except for Romario and Edmundo. Hated the sight of each other.
Sounds like our Thursday night team,
Bloody hell what they did. They were really good. Pele and Jairzinho in Brazil, Toshak and Keegan from Liverpool, and Saba and Taylor for me and Jim. The best partnership I've ever seen from my team.
Okay, well, this was my point. My answers would be every club has a decent partnership. Like, you look at the QPR, Palace, Brighton, Brighton and Wright would probably be one of the big Spurs. You've had decent partnerships down the years, can't think of any at the moment.
Queensland and Sheridan.
Exactly. QPR, I'm sure, have John Spencer and Danny Dicchio. Do they play together?
Was he awful?
But you know what I mean?
He was horrible.
Every club. So, yeah, for me, Gillingham had Bob Taylor and Carlos Sabi, no one else would have heard of.
20-odd goals each.
Individually, they weren't great players. Together, they just knew exactly what was going on. On the same front, Phillips and Quinn, Sunderland.
Absolutely
phenomenal. And they were both good players. Quinn, at the time, was at the end of his career, but he was a great, great player still. Darius Henderson and Marlon King. No?
Yeah, well, okay. They did very well.
They were a good partnership. That season they got promoted, I think Marlon got about 30, Darius got about 20, something like that.
But the
case in point, Darius Henderson is not a great player.
No.
He's a mid-champion level player. That season, they had a good partnership. They clicked, and they were phenomenal.
Okay, fair enough.
Henderson and King at Watford.
Yeah. Two extra million players.
My other one, I had Romario and Stoichkov would be my ultimate.
Yeah.
Because they were
unbelievable.
But the best strike partnership that I've ever seen live, in terms of the click they had and the devastating effect they had, was actually in the Championship. It was at Wigan, and that was Nathan Emerson and Jason Roberts.
That's the only reason they went anywhere.
Yeah.
They were awesome.
The rest of the team, they had Arjen Dazoo at centre back, I believe, and they had a decent goalkeeper. And apart from that, they weren't a great team at all.
The two strikers, Roberts and Emerson, haven't done it
so much.
Roberts, I mean, I remember watching him at the time thinking Ellington was the better player.
Yeah, I remember
Ellington
that too.
Hasn't really done it.
Ellington was just ruthless. Though.
Roberts has a work rate, and he's actually done better in the game.
Definitely.
I mean, I always used to think, right, so they went up, it would have been about 2003, 2004, I think, they went up. I always thought there was a load of, like, that Jason Roberts and Ellington split up because they both went in separate ways. And there was a time when money was coming to the Championship teams, QPR, in fact, and it was just like, right, if you've got 600-800 grand to spend, buy Edmonton from wherever he is, buy Roberts from wherever he is, and play him in the Championship, and they would have done a job.
And then get rid of him again.
Yeah, and in the Premiership, you can bring your own men in and buy your Premier League players. But
here's another one from even lower down. Scunthorpe had Andy Keogh and Billy Sharp.
Yeah, very good example.
And they were awesome, and they went their separate ways. Keogh's career didn't kick on as much as perhaps you might have liked. Billy Sharp scored goals wherever he's gone.
Yeah. Keogh's still young, though. He can still be a decent player.
But those two did really well.
All right, another one, just off the top of my head. AFC Bournemouth, around 98-99, had Mark Steen, obviously ex-Chelsea, but proven goalscorer. They played League One level. Mark Steen and a guy called Fletcher,
who was their coach. They got rid of him this week.
Yeah, he's still there. He was just a massive lump. He got one lump and one absolute class little player.
Came on as a sub against us last weekend in a cup.
Yeah. And they absolutely
aged about 43 or something.
It's all about partnerships.
Yeah.
Right.
Good question.
Who came up with that? It wasn't me.
Was it
Cox and Pitney were talking about last week.
PBC, so
I don't know which one of them came out of it, but well done.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dan Ferdinand.
Team to follow, Melbourne Heart. How are we getting on, Dan?
Melbourne Heart. Well, after a couple of wins.
Two wins on the trot.
Unfortunately, we've had another loss. But to be fair, it was against Central Coast, who were. I think they dropped the third, but have been in the top two or three. They've reclaimed second place after this 3-1 win at home to Hart. They are the sort of second best team, supposedly, in the O League. Won 3-1 at home, Central Coast at home. Matt Simon put the Mariners in front in first half injury time before the Hart rallied brilliantly in the second half to equalise in the 78th minute. And then again, the Hart have let in two goals in the last 10 minutes. Mariners went ahead in the 81st minute when referee Gerard Parsons awarded the home team for a penalty for a handball in the box.
Yeah. You're just reading a match report. I want your own views. This is boring.
Do you know how busy I've been?
I don't care.
Right.
If you're not going to get into it and you don't know actually what happened, then they lost, right? Did they lose?
You know what?
Move on.
That's
I don't care for a match report.
I think you're fine. It was Stuart Hall.
Who's leaving?
It was Stuart Hall.
It's not because he has to be back at work.
I've been handed this.
He's so annoyed.
I've been bloody horrible.
Yeah, so they lost, right?
Yeah, they lost 3-1.
All right, okay. Shall I lighten the mood with some Sky Sports news?
Go on.
I've got this as
no snowman on Sky Sports news.
I got this through as a press release this week, and it was so stupid that we weren't ever going to use it for work purposes. I thought that'll do for the podcast, so I've kept it. I'll just read it verbatim. 1 in 10 boys think that Father Christmas has a reindeer called Rooney.
Brilliant, read that. Yeah.
According to a poll conducted by Visit Birmingham,
yeah,
commissioned as part of the sparkling.
They've
Christmas
got their own Rooney. Maybe they're not thinking Wayne Rooney. They're thinking of whatever their Rooney.
Was it Donna Dasher, Dancer, Blitzen, and Rooney or something? Wasn't it?
In a sample of 6 to 10 year olds. A selection of the UK's kids didn't know their antlers from their offside, confusing the England striker with one of Santa's sleigh pullers. The figure was higher in boys, where 10% thought that the Three Lions goal machine was more red-nosed than a red devil, compared to 7% of girls. The poll has prompted Solihull's Christmas fair organisers to name a real-life reindeer after Rooney this December, especially because 15% of boys in the West Midlands thought that a 26-year-old is more used to sleigh duty than the international team. Chris Rooney's dreadful, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely awful. And I suppose better Rooney, naming a reindeer than a donkey.
Yeah. Rooney, along with Father Christmas, was on hand. This is Rooney the reindeer, not Rooney the man.
Right.
Was on hand to open the Christmas fair at Solihull, West Midlands, last Saturday. Children and parents are welcome to visit him until December 23rd when he gets to work. So if you live anywhere near Birmingham and you want to just walk up to a reindeer and start going, Rooney, like some sort of crazed idiot, then that's where you need to go. Solihull's Christmas fair. That's the Sky Sports news. That's as good as I can.
Right, 90s Prem Stars. I'm going to keep it snappy because we've talked quite a lot.
Yeah.
Alan Shearer.
Oh,
this was tweeted by 90s Prem Stars, and it's brilliant. At 90s Prem Stars, if you're not following by now, you should be.
What's he up to now, Alan Shearer?
Well, obviously, Toon Hero, Gosforth sheet metal worker's son, slapping according to Joey Barton,
and his subject
of this interview. And then they put an interview there, which was with The Telegraph, I believe, and it's absolute genius. But as we're on about 40 minutes, I'm going to save it and I'm going to give it to you next week.
Right.
Any edited highlights?
Is this an interview between The Telegraph and Shearer?
I believe it's The Telegraph or The Times.
Right.
And it's an interview that they're carrying out with Alan Shearer, but it's one of these relevant sort of like, basically they're asking questions like, what is your favourite vegetable? And he answers a few of them, and then by the end of it, he's seething, and it's brilliant. The way it ends is just genius.
I think that's a great way to leave it in a bit of suspense. I like
that. Keep it in there, and then we'll do it next week.
I like that. I've got one more little bit before we sign off.
Yes, mate, go on.
I've just noticed before we came, actually, there seems to be a rallying cry for Get Mario Balotelli on Twitter.
Do
hashtags and Get Mario. And
it would be genius.
It would be wonderful. And I think anyone listening, anyone out there, hashtag Get Mario Balotelli. get Balotelli on Twitter, it needs to happen. That boy needs to be on Twitter.
He was one of the first people I searched for, to be fair.
We've got to get him on. Anyway, that was it.
Right. After Melanie Gibson of Beaver Porn Fun.
Well, we're all on Twitter, the boy Silver.
Oh, it's a great link.
You've
got to finish up now.
The boy Silver, Miller Donna 10, Jim Staples, Simon Head,
Stuart Hall. Well,
I don't know, is he even worth following? He doesn't say anything on the show either.
He just sends tweets with no character.
Just blank tweets. And the main show is at Football Podcast. Website is footballpodcast.co.uk. We're on Facebook as well. That's the Football Podcast number 59. We'll be back with number 60 just for Christmas.
All right, we should have a game of football, lads.